It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 596. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeNationNet. Jam-packed show. I want to catch up on lots of stories from the trenches, lots of email, and a couple tips along the way. That QuickBooks tip I have another tip on how to remotely restart a computer, in case you're not aware, an email issue that boggles the mind that I'm going to describe, and then my laptop from hell day and my nightmare of Windows 10 activations and my struggle with Microsoft, the features in Instant House Call. Version 6.3 has just been released. And last week, if you were watching the show, you might have seen a very cool demonstration of remote printing. You can click on a box to allow remote printing, and I can bring up an application on the system I'm remoted into and print to my local printer. It's a beautiful feature. There's lots of other great features built in to Instant House Call that you need to test and check it out. And you can try it free for 15 days by going to instanthousecall.com, clicking on the link to download the trial, enter the promo code MikeTechShow, or just click on the link on my website, but enter the promo code MikeTechShow. Let's start out with the QuickBooks fix. I had a server reboot that I actually didn't want the server to reboot, but they have QuickBooks 2016. You need the database manager running on the server if you're sharing the QuickBooks database on a server. Every time we tried to start the service, you got an error. QuickBooks DB 26 system servants. It starts and then immediately stops, giving the message that the service on the local computer started and then stopped. How do we get this service to start? So I'm Googling, and in the Intuit community, which will be the first link for tonight's show, unbelievable what the answer is. This error is a common error on a reboot. You have to stop the DNS service, then start that QuickBooks DB26 service. It starts, then you restart the DNS service. So if you have DNS running on your server, in order to get this service to start, you have to stop the DNS service. Couldn't believe it. I read the article that I just put into the chat and will be the first link in the show notes tonight, and it absolutely fixed the problem. Here's something else. As my son is out working on some systems, he's running into, when he has to do a reboot or an update, the Windows 10 anniversary update is ready to install. That takes forever to install. Here is something to learn. If you are installing the original Office 2010, something we ran into, it will not connect to Office 365 for Exchange hosted services unless all of the service packs are applied. So here's where my son got caught with a client needing to do the upgrade to Outlook that was just installed because it was from the original disk. And while those updates were coming, so was the anniversary update that we couldn't stop. And it just took forever. I'm seeing nightmare stories of the anniversary update bricking systems, locking up to where it takes massive amounts to try to undo and get it to work. I am putting together a dedicated show of the Windows 10. We'll call it the anniversary nightmare, and I will address that. The stories are just coming in, and we are living them. But I got so much other things I want to cover tonight. Here's one. Have a client that has a domain name that we upgraded to SureWeb for their hosted exchange email. The domain is registered at GoDaddy. Getting them off of blacklists that they already had from previous years or problems has taken a lot of work. But we're experiencing over weeks of trying to get email to constantly work. Sometimes they would send messages. People wouldn't get them. People tried to send messages. We would find them popping up on blacklist, have to take them off. The network is clean. Everything's good. What fixed the problem is something that I would not have thought. Their web designer said, let's move the domain to Enom. Let's move it away from GoDaddy and see what happens. And I'm like, you know what? We have nothing to lose. Let's do it. We moved it. It instantly fixed the problem. No issues at all. By changing the registration from GoDaddy to Enom, that means there was something set with that domain within DNS or something that we don't have control over that was built into GoDaddy, and it would not let us go forward with fixing whatever needed to be fixed. All we did was change the registration of where the domain is, and it's working great. Never ran into that before. I got some more. Great stories here. I need to do an unattended remote into a computer on a network that has Active Directory and a server running. I log into the server because I don't see it available in the unattended list. So I figured, no problem. I'll log in and then remote to the services and just start the instant house call service. For some reason, the instant house call service stopped. It was running. So I figured there's something else going on with this system. Let me do a reboot. I wanted to bring up, because we don't talk about it a lot, and this is Windows Server 2012 R2, and it actually works with actually quite any operating system, really. There's the shutdown /I, where you can pick the computer that you want to reboot. You get options to not just, even though it's a shutdown command, you can restart and or shut down. So I type shutdown /I from the admin command prompt of the server. I pick the computer that I want to restart, and I can even add the comment that will be added to the event log to inform why am I restarting the system. I did that to that system, restarted 60 seconds later because it's a SSD. It now appears in my unattended list, and I can go on my way doing my unattended work with instant house call. Another tip, you may have other reasons. Me, I just needed to remote in. Command you may not realize or may not have had to use, very handy. And I'll have the link in the show notes to help you with that. The combination of Windows 10 licensing and my laptop from hell day. Four laptops in here that my son and I are working on yesterday. And one of the systems is a dead hard drive that I don't even know what happened to it. And it's the Toshiba laptop. It was originally Windows 8.1, upgraded to Windows 10 Home during the free upgrade period. No problem. I'll just download the Windows 10 Media Creation Tool. I'll create the Windows 10 Home bootable USB. It has a digital certificate. It'll register no problem. I pop it in, and this drive is dead. So I put an SSD in there. I reinstall the operating system in a couple minutes. It will not activate. And I can't find the Windows 8.1 original product key. It's nowhere to be found. And if you were to call Toshiba, well, they're not going to give you the key. They're going to sell you original media to reinstall Windows 8.1. But I don't want to do that. And I don't want to go through an upgrade. It's already been through the upgrade. Weren't we told by Microsoft that if it's already been upgraded, that digital certificate is saved, married to that system and the motherboard? But I have a hard drive that died. I've never seen this system before. I called Microsoft and we fought for an hour and I got nowhere. They kept reading from a script and I said, stop this. I looked in the BIOS, no key. I removed the battery, no key. There's no key available to me. And since the original hard drive is dead, I don't have access to a recovery. I don't have access to anything to read from that original drive. I think it's embedded in the motherboard somewheres. So how do I get it? Microsoft is not prepared to deal with that when you're talking on the phone. So I call my client and I, you know, it's a new client. And I explain that I'm going to have to install a fresh Windows 10 with a product key. Now, I only have some Windows 10 product keys that I purchased and they are legitimate, but they're Windows 10 Pro. So I take the Windows 10 Pro USB, and I've used this USB several times. It's the anniversary update, and I've installed it on systems and activated successfully. So now I got my Windows 10 Pro key that's legitimate. I have the Windows 10 Pro. I redo the drive. I set it up Windows 10 Pro. I'm ready to activate. I go to the activation. I can't make this up. It activated automatically as Windows 10 Home. How can that be? I used the Windows 10 Home and it won't activate. I used Windows 10 Pro and it activated as Windows 10 Home. I have no rational explanation for how that happened. I just don't. And maybe someone out there who's hearing this and listening to the podcast can explain, because I have witnessed it. I've now made, you know what? It's now policy. I'm not even going to use the Home anymore ever. I'm just going to use this since it activates as Home if it's got a Home license, and it activated, saved my client money. Everything's cool. All right. So let's talk about the next system. This is a system that has to be Windows 10 Pro because it's going to connect to a server. But my client only wants to buy the Home. The Pro version of the same computer will cost him $400 more. I said, I'll update it. $100 to install, $100 to update. I'll save you money. Have my Windows 10 Pro key. It's a brand new Dell. It's activated Windows 10 Home. I put in the Pro key to upgrade, and it says it's invalid. We know this is a legitimate key. As a matter of fact, the company I bought the key from is incredible. Gets on the phone with Microsoft with me in a conference call. And again, another hour spent on a totally worthless call with Microsoft licensing. We are unable to upgrade. I said, you know what? At the end of the call, I told my friend, I told the person who sold me the key, I said, you know what? And Microsoft was still on the line. I said, I'd rather upgrade it from scratch to Pro and put the key in and activate it than go through this mess. But now I remembered a show that I did a while ago when Windows 10 came out. and I'm going to relink the same article. Here's how you go from home to pro if you have to do it. There is a generic Windows 10 Pro product key that everybody can use. It won't activate, but it will allow you to actually go through the upgrade. So you put this generic Windows 10 Pro product key in. It will go through the upgrade process, which is lengthy. When it's all done, when you go to activate, the activation screen will say it could not activate. But now it says Windows 10 Pro, not home. Now you can put your Pro key in and it will activate. This is when you have an OEM key. I know you can go to the store and you can purchase the upgrade for $99. But if you have an OEM key that is valid, that is the process you must go through. Microsoft's not going to take you through that. And I'm glad I all of a sudden remembered, but this is another one that worked. What I would really like, and I said this before the show, I want a true Microsoft licensing expert, which I don't think exists, from Microsoft. And I want to tie him to a chair here on my podcast as I administer sodium pentothal and we ask him the questions about Windows 10 licensing. That's what I want. Now, next problem, a new opportunity because a laptop, the only prompt you get when you boot is hit F4 on the Samsung laptop to go into recovery mode. But this person was smart enough to know that they did not have a valid backup of any of their data. So they contacted someone who knows me. I get the referral. We go get the laptop. Yesterday, I pull the laptop up. It fires up perfectly on my SATA to USB adapter. I get all the data off using FABS Auto Backup 6 Pro, which I love, love, love. I get that. I get all the data. We pop the drive back in, and now we do hit the F4 key, go into recovery mode. A few minutes later, bang, the system's back to its factory defaults. I then take that data, put it on an external drive, sell that back to the new client who is so happy. My son delivered that today. She has all kinds of work for us. It's phenomenal. I now have a client for life by getting all the data off, recovering the system back to the factory defaults. So even though it was laptop from hell day, it was a happy ending for each laptop. There's another one I'm not even going to get into. Let's catch up on email here. First one from Ignatz. Nasty snagware. I like that. Never heard the term snagware. Two cases of upselling or escalationware injection in the last few months. Services that pretend to be free, but immediately start nagging for upgrades. Installed ImageBurn, my usual free DVD ISO burner. It somehow also installed StackPlayer, some kind of media cataloging search and indexing service. A system start pop-up annoyance, easily removed, not malicious or deeply embedded. Then, something I should really be ashamed of, Reimage. Supposedly a system diagnostic fixer-upper. I really should have known better, but it was offered by a Windows forum which I can no longer trust. Deeply embedded with pop-ups on startup, hidden in invisible temp files. I had to remove the SSD and attach it as a USB peripheral on a good system. I used the Microsoft Agent Ransack search and an analysis that can also delete no access hidden files. Reimage is filthy trickery, and who knows what it eventually leads to. All right. Thank you. Great email. This is from John. This is alternatives to Skype and Google Hangouts. It's a long list, and I'm going to make sure they're in the show notes. We have Jitsi, VoxOx, Goober, EKIGA, OVU, I've heard of OVU, Wire, VC, and Line, a long list of alternatives to Google Hangouts, Skype. You know my opinion on TeamSpeak, which is what I'm going to use for any guests or any multi-person podcast that I'm going to record, because the audio just sounded so great for my tests. And John, thank you for that. This is from Alan. Hi, Mike. Thanks for the Mike Tech Show, especially the personal security tips in regard to the Yahoo breach. Years ago, I was shopping for a pseudo-anonymous email host. I skipped Yahoo because it demanded authenticated reference info, which I will not give to online email hosts. My advice: create semi-anonymous email contact addresses using fictitious names that only your friends and contacts recognize. Do the same as movie stars and politicians. Never use your real name as an email address. If in business, have only highly secure, trusted email host with corporate name as address. An email host that demands authenticated personal info means only one thing. The host probably wants to sell your personal info to a mass mailer, advertiser, spammer of other commercial entity. English-speaking Asian mail sites are interesting. Asian extended families use a half a dozen different names for different purposes. Their mail sites do not care who you are or what you call yourself. They have your IP, but they are in India or Russia, so what? You use a secure American-hosted site for important businesses. Of course, if you pay for services, the U.S. host technically has just your name and or mailing address, but not much else. Even then, they don't seem to care if the name matches the account. Your credit card bank pays through PayPal, and that is all that matters. Reserve One will prove a highly trusted email host with excellent spam filtering for use with online retail and banking, where your real name business transactions will be disclosed. Use fake name addresses for social, news, and casual shopping sites. Very important, do not keep contact lists or message archives on remote hosted email sites. Create your own local mail indexes and erase all contact lists and email from the mail host service provider. I keep everything in RTF file format. All contacts are in the encrypted password file. Creating a password manager is easy. Use a file encryption tool like AES Crypt or Stegnos to encrypt a single file with your list of service and retail passwords, admin logins, router keys, etc. Have one master password and never write it down or record it in the clear anywhere. Sync that file across all your systems. I don't even trust a cloud-hosted password manager to keep my master password list. Give your master password list an innocuous, meaningless file name. Some suggestions for memorable master password. 1. Math formula based on factors, dates, locations only you know or care about. 2. Intersparse this formula or numeric string with a memorable but meaningless visual pattern of symbols and or letters. Example, street address of favorite relative or best friend multiplied, then interleaved with punctuation symbols and syllables or letters of a name or place spelled backwards. Passwords for banks and services. Create long enough entropy passwords with upper lowercase symbols and numbers, never less than 12, or as long as 25 characters, depending on the limits of your banking service site login rules. This sounds like coming out of the playbook of Winston Wolfe here on that one. If your bank or service demands you use simplistic, easy-to-crack passwords, do not use their online banking or make purchases with that company. Never use dictionary or name passwords unless it is a simple login to an unimportant site like a forum or chat that you rarely use. Never use the same password on more than one site. If you're dumb enough to use the real name on as Fakebook or InstaSham, you deserve the consequences. Consider locking down your credit bureau files so that it becomes almost impossible for anyone without the security codes to apply for credit or a loan. In many states, you can do this free of charge. Keep the credit bureau passwords and login keys in your encrypted file. Alan, thank you so much for your insights and especially the tips on passwords. From the computer doctor in Richmond. Hi, Mike. I have a customer with a 10.11 MacBook and an iPhone 6S that was wondering about iTunes playlists syncing wirelessly. I looked online and found very limited info, and while I dug through the settings and iCloud iTunes settings on both devices, I never found anything specific. I know everything else seems to be syncing up wirelessly, like normal and playlists will sync via USB. Any ideas? Is this possible? Thanks. And this is Kevin. I don't use playlists for wireless syncing. So I pose this to all of my listeners that are in an Apple ecosystem somehow or support one. Is it possible? And is there a trick or is there something or maybe a link you can send me that we can help Kevin with on how to wirelessly sync your playlist? This is from Cormac. Hi, Mike. I was wondering if you had come across a problem like this and could you read it out on a show? A customer has an HP Envoy 23 TouchSmart all-in-one computer. She was running Windows 8 and paid Microsoft 138 euro to download 10. Yes, 8, not 8.1. Two things strange about this. You can't do a straight upgrade from 8 to 10, and Microsoft are still giving 10 for free. So why was she charged anyway? It failed, and it got a black screen. Was she really doing this from a legitimate Microsoft, from Microsoft? The fan spinning, etc. All signs should work. There is no VGA or HDMI ports. I was able to get the screen to flash on a few times. I checked RAM, hard drive, but by looking online, it's a big problem out there with certain HP computers that 10 is bricking them. It appears you have to reset the BIOS with the jumpers and then update it. I had tried to reset it a few times with no joy. I was wondering if you had any ideas. Many thanks, Cormac. Did you call HP support and see if they would help you with this? Does anybody know? I think you're on the right track. You're going to have to reset. Can you open the system and put another drive in? They usually take laptop drives, those all-in-ones, at least some of them. Can you put another drive in? Can you boot from a bootable USB? Or can you boot from a bootable DVD drive? Possibly see the screen? I would try to find out, how do you get back to the BIOS and system factory defaults? Then start from there, and hopefully you'll be able to go right to Windows 10 with the media creation tool. Make a Windows 10 Pro, like I just talked about with the Windows 10 licensing, and you might get an automatic activation if you're fortunate. This is another one from Kevin, the computer doctor. Hey, Mike, I stumbled upon this very cool tool that allows you to download Windows and Office ISOs. More info here at How Do Geek. Scroll about halfway down the page. I'm going to put this in the show notes. He's looking for a download of Windows 8 Home, not 8.1. I'm having trouble finding it. Let me know if you know where to get it. This is now the second email asking for Windows 8 Home. Is there a resource online to be able to get an ISO of Windows 8? not 8.1. Be glad to share that. This is from Jason, giving me alert to the new updates of Instant House Call that I covered one of them in the beginning for 6.3. Jason, thank you very much. This is from Photo Ray in the chat. Quick note about RMAs and Corsair products. Hey, Mike, just wanted to share a positive experience with an RMA, as we usually hear nightmare stories. This one was with Corsair. My power supply that I had purchased 3.5 years ago had been constantly causing my computer to randomly restart. I was going through the process of elimination to find the cause, as I thought it must be Windows 10 acting up, when I discovered the PC did the same thing as I was running Linux from a USB stick. Long story short, I sent the 750-watt non-modular power supply back to Corsair. It was the end of the week. The following Tuesday, I received a message from Blair at the customer service department. He asked if I would like an upgraded unit, as mine was no longer available. I told him that what I wanted, which was another 750-watt power supply, but modular and using the Link software. He said, no problem. Enjoy your new power supply. It couldn't have been any easier. The experience will definitely keep me using Corsair products. Keep up the good work, Mike. Photo Ray, great story. Love hearing positive customer service experiences, because we want to share them, because we want to support those manufacturers, those companies. We want to support Amazon because of their great customer service. Corsair, you let me know of a positive story, because you're right. I get on my soapbox and I kill companies like I just killed Microsoft on the licensing. We beat them up, and rightfully so. But the companies that have great customer service, we want to share that. Thanks for sharing that. Support Corsair. That's it. And speaking of Amazon, if you purchase from Amazon or know anybody purchasing from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really, really appreciate it. Remember, Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro, great software. I use it at least once a week, usually more. Instant House Call, go to instanthousecall.com, try the free trial, use the promo code MikeTechShow. That's it. I'll see everybody back here same time next week, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.